Praise the Lord, saints. Our message today comes from the book of 2 Samuel, 11th chapter, verses 2 through 4 and 14 through 17. That is 2 Samuel, 11th chapter, verses 2 through 4 and 14 through 17. And it reads as follows. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." Now verse 14 through 17 says, "In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it he wrote, 'Put Uriah out on the front line where the fighting is fiercest. Then withdraw from him so he will be struck down and die.' So while Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah in a place where he knew the strongest defenders were. When the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in the David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died." I want to speak today on the topic, sometimes we are at fault. Amen? Sometimes we are at fault. Let me break this down. In verse 2, King David watched this woman named Bathsheba bathing. She was nude, and David was filled with lust for her. David did not care if this woman was married or not. He just wanted her in the worst way. David summoned her to the palace where he made love to her, and eventually she became pregnant with his child. You know, saints, lust will make you do the wrong thing every time. David isn't the only person who lusted after a woman or after a man. Lust is one of the strongest feelings known to both man and woman. David allowed the lust to make decisions for him. In plain English, David wanted a booty call and did not care about the consequences. Now in verse 14 through 17, it states the following. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In it, he wrote, "Put Uriah out in front where the fighting is fiercest. Then withdraw from him so that he will be struck down and die." Now, while Joab had the city under siege, he put Uriah at the place where he knew the strongest defenders were. When the men of the city came out and fought against Joab, some of the men in David's army fell. Moreover, Uriah the Hittite died. Lust for Bathsheba caused David to remove her husband, Uriah, from the equation. David asked his commander, Joab, to put Uriah on the front lines of the war where the heaviest fighting would occur. David did this because he knew Uriah would die on the battlefield. And this is exactly what occurred. Now, David was free to marry Bathsheba as a result, which was his goal. Bathsheba had no idea what David had done. In verses 26 and 27, it states, "When Uriah's wife heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. After the time of mourning was over, David had her brought to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing David had done displeased the Lord." Let me dig deeper into this episode. First of all, David was a peeping Tom, which was wrong in the first place. David had no business watching Bathsheba while she was bathing. Instead of turning away from seeing her, he stared at her even more until the lust in him consumed him. David compounded the problem by summoning her, even though he knew that she was married. David committed adultery twice by lusting after her and sleeping with her. That's twice he committed adultery. Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." David figured that if Uriah died on the battlefield, the cause of death would be due to war. Since that would be the cause of death, this would clear David of any fault in Uriah's death. But sometimes we are at fault. David did cause Uriah to die. He knew that he would be killed in battle and made sure that Uriah would be placed on the front lines, which is the most dangerous place during battle. David figured in his lustful mind that he did nothing wrong and did not cause Uriah's death. David had already committed multiple sins and married the very woman that he made a widow. Now, how does all of this relate to us? Well, David isn't the only person to be driven by lust. We tend to blame others for the actions that we do because of our lust. Also, lust comes in many forms. Lust does not have to be sexual. Lust can be anything that drives us to sin. To understand lust, here's the definition. It says intense sexual appetite or desire, to have a yearning or desire, to have a strong or excessive craving. Now, here are the examples of lust. What about lust for power? When we want to have the authority to make decisions all the time and be in charge, that's a lust for power. Now, lust for power can make us step on others to gain an advantage or move up the corporate ladder. Now, we believe that the people that were affected by our lust for power were not our fault. They just happened to be in the way. Let's talk about another type of lust, a lust for money. When we want to have material things and even wealth, we tend to do anything to gain money. We don't care if other people are affected by our gaining money. We don't care if some people are poor due to our lust for money. We also believe that using them to earn money is not our fault. We think that their money woes are due to their own actions, not the actions of us. Let me give you an example. I'm sure you've heard of Bernie Madoff. He did a Ponzi scheme to gain money. His lust for money and wealth went way too far. He literally robbed millions of dollars from unsuspecting people through this scheme. He took money that people had saved their whole lives to retire, and he took it from them. He didn't think that he did anything wrong. That is how strong a lust for power or lust for money can be. Here's another type of lust, lust for acceptance. And think about this one. When we strongly lust after or feel the need to be accepted, we tend to do anything to fit in. We make friends with people just to fit in and ditch our old and real friends in the process. We give no thought to our old friends and find no fault in losing them. We don't think about the pain that we put our old friend through by deserting them. We just want to be accepted. Now, I got to throw this one out there. What about a lust for love? When we lust after or strongly feel the need to feel love, that is a lust for love. We go after love lustfully and find it in unusual places. We try to replace anything or anyone that we feel does not love us. It could be parents, siblings, friends, even our own kids. We tend to fall in love with the wrong people out of desperation. These people hurt us because what they thought was love was an illusion. Those people take advantage of us because they can feel that we are desperate. We hurt those who love us by abandoning them. We do not place any fault on ourselves for this, which is a shame. Now, let's get back to David and talk about the lust for love, the lust for sex, I should say. When we are led by our lust for sex like David was, we tend to affect others. We go places and do things we normally would not do to feed our lust. We watch porn, we lust after women or men, etc., etc. And that's a shame. We have affairs. Well, you know, we cheat on our spouses or our girlfriends or our boyfriends. We don't give any thought to how it makes our boyfriend or girlfriend feel because we're just fulfilling our lust. And that's very selfish. And we don't see any fault in it, which is crazy, but we don't see any fault in it. Now, all the examples given, as well as David's examples, shows us what lust can do to us. David angered God with his actions, and we anger God with ours. David saw nothing wrong with what he did, and we were the same way. David did not admit any of his faults, of any of his actions. This brings us to some questions. Have we done something that hurt others? Have we admitted fault for our actions? Did we confess this to God? Well, think about it, saints. This sermon is not to bash David, but to enlighten us into knowing that our actions can lead to consequences. We are all human, so we can't judge David. What God hopes to accomplish with this sermon, in closing, is to have us look at what we do and how we do it. We must always remember that sometimes, just like David, we are at fault and we need to repent. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come. Thank you for this word, Lord. Thank you for your enlightenment, your correction, your love for us. Please, we repent, Father, for anything that we've done that has offended you, the times we've done things, hurt others, and not taken the blame for any of it. Please forgive us, O Lord. Help us not to be that way. Father, I pray, Lord, that you'll glorify with this message. Thank you for using me to deliver it. I pray, Father, that whoever hears this message will be touched by your words. I pray, Lord, that they'll be drawn to you and that you'll be glorified in them. I pray, Lord, that this word will go forth from the north, the south, the east, and the west, and may your will be done. Father, I thank you and ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.